This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
But every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens, and painting. Throw it in the water, this red sky is daily. When I talk about these things, they think I'm crazy. There's no escaping anymore, the evil that we're facing. Illuminati mind control, they're sacrificing babies. The end of days, but anyways, my family thinks I'm crazy.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I'm your host, Mystic Mark, and joining me on today's show is a YouTube documentarian, an independent researcher, and a podcast host who also happens to be a good friend of mine. His name is Donut, and he joins me here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy this conversation with my friend, Donut.
So I think this hints a lot at what's going to happen. I think it's going to be connected to UFOs. The Disclosure movie will be released by Steven Spielberg, and he's very aware of the Thule Society, the Atlantis Society, and so the predictions I have is that we're going to get North Korea, Rocket Man, Kim Jong-un back in the picture. We're going to get some more alien stuff for sure, some more that in the news. And either Billie Eilish or Zac Brown Band at the Super Bowl.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I'm your host, Mystic Mark. And joining me for today's interview is the man, the myth, the legend himself, coming off of another happy Hanukkah. Is it still Hanukkah, Donut, currently?
I believe it ends at sundown.
Wow. So we are closing out Hanukkah with the man, the myth, the legend, the man behind the Donut Factory. It's Donut. What's up, Donut?
Donut. Yo, what up? It's Donut. My family think I'm crazy.
What's up, brother? It's always good to have you on this show. We've podcasted for quite a few years now. I've been on your live streams with many different interesting people that you are also friends with. So, yeah, it's always a treat to have you on my show, Donut, and I just want to congratulate you and give the Higher Side Chat's appearance that you did a big old shout out. That's a big milestone in our little world of podcasting, so good for you. But aside from that, aside from being, you know, verified podcast celebrity, what have you been up to? What have you been researching? How have you been?
Well, it's an honor to be here with you, Mark. This is awesome. Right when I started, we introduced each other through your speaking through Alex Stein. And because you connected me with Paranoid American and the Home Oncologist himself, one-on-one podcast, it has been just a great journey. And speaking of the higher side chats, when I went on my, you know, journey of podcasting, which hopefully turns into more of a documentary filmmaking career, you know, because that's my big, you know, goal for the next 2 years, is I set the intention of wanting to podcast with Sam Tripoli, with podcast with the Higher Side Chats and Isaac Weishaupt, and that all those things came true. Very awesome. And you were a big part of all that. So I like to just send my gratitude to you. Thank you.
Oh, stop it. That's so nice of you to say, but we all know you're very talented and have a ton of research. So yeah, don't thank me too hard. I'm just doing my job, finding interesting people like you and connecting them with other interesting people. But here we are, two interesting people ourselves on this podcast. And yeah, it's cool, man. I don't know. It feels like each year you're a part of my wrap up, sort of, whether we have you on the show or not, because you're always, I wouldn't call you someone who makes predictions, but your intuition is sharp. You look for symbols on a regular basis, and you're great at recognizing these patterns, finding where it links into other things that are going on contemporaneously. So I wanted to have you on as we end the year, as we end Hanukkah. You know, what does 2025 leave with you? Obviously, we had some pretty hardcore conspiracy events this year. The death of Charlie Kirk, which obviously is still very much, you know, up in the air as far as what happened and all the details. But aside from maybe that, what is 2025 left with you? Is there anything in particular that you think is worth reflecting on?
2025 has been a big year. I mean, 2020 was also a big year. And what has, you know, happened in 2025 was the year of conspiracy. And the mainstream podcasters that are promoted by the mainstream, I'm talking mainstream news, mainstream musical artists that are played at everybody's weddings, they have taken over this field that I am so passionate about and such a fan of, and hijacked it and moved it deliberately in a direction which is not surprising at all, because what we went through in 2020 was very similar to the past of the Black Death or a plague, and then what happens after that. There's so many similarities to it. And I think that's a huge thing. And I'm trying not to say names, but everybody can connect dots if they just open their phone up. I think that was one of the big things that got me contemplating over the years, because we had the lockdowns, people were waking up, because if you didn't wake up during that time, everybody did. And what other way to get people not to look in the correct directions than to do scapegoating and also move people into institutions? And that's exactly what's been going on. And I've just been watching it happen, just like I watched the lockdowns happen. And it just seems to me like a big cleanup job of hiding away from the true powers that be, the real tentacles of the octopus, to just maybe focus on one tentacle of the octopus that was created for a decapitation of the tentacle itself. So that's where, you know, 2025 has led me. And it's
sort of brought me on a journey. Inoculation of conspiracy theory, it seems like what you're saying. Like, tell me more about that. This sort of tentacle image you just created in my head. Are you suggesting that this conspiracy mainstream sort of amalgamation of people that just sort of, a lot of them sort of popped up out of thin air as far as popular mainstream sources of conspiracy? I can't really think of a couple of the names, but you know, Sean Ryan, I think is one of the popular ones now. Candace Owens, you know, there's a couple others, but like 3-4 years ago, these people did not exist. Ian Carroll, another person, kind of comes up out of nowhere. Now he's working with Candace Owens. So are you suggesting that this is sort of like the, what we're seeing is like the mainstreaming of what was in the past, at least when you and I started our podcast, more of a fringe alternative sort of independent culture? Now it's becoming mainstream. Is this what you're saying?
I am saying that, and the names that you brought up, I only know a couple of them because one of them called me out because he was supporting Nazi accounts, and I was like, he got mad about that for me talking crap about it. And Candace Owens even liked one of my comments because she started off talking about the Sabbatean Frankist and whatnot, which I've read Rabbi Antelman's work on because I'm a big Jordan Maxwell fan and he was friends with him. And so I understand that, you know, part of the tentacles of the octopus, and leaving out the other tentacles, because the other tentacles are still part of the octopus, is called omission. And it's very upsetting. It's been a very upsetting few years for me, but it, you know, dived me into the books and the research rather than being controlled by the spectacle of fake beefs, algorithm push, and the hijack of the amygdala, which is controlling myself. So if I go on one of these algorithms that people are being promoted, you know, by, you don't get promoted in an algorithm. If it's an accident and you get promoted, you'll be removed. That's what happens. And these people make so much money, it's ridiculous. But it's got me to dive into what's going on. And this is how I'm able to really break through the matrix, in a sense, is studying ideologies and the ideologies of the left. That's a huge thing because the conservative movement has been hijacked by grifters. And this happens every election year. Every election year, all the pickup artists, for example, will become political. And then when that grift is over, they go back to the dating coaching. And this is just a known thing to go on. And we're seeing this happen once again. It's nothing new. Even conspiracy, nothing new with conspiracy. There's conspiracies like in old newspaper, you know.
It's funny you mentioned that. I think you and I, we had a conversation privately, and I mentioned Coach Corey Wayne, who is a dating coach. And then, funny enough, yeah, he does post a lot of political content, and especially when things are viral. So yeah, it does. There's an ebb and flow. There's a sort of overwhelming sense of division around the topics within that realm of politics, particularly when it comes to the whole topic of Israel. So I can see, yeah, where you might be frustrated. There's a lot of what we can call, you know, just blatant hating on Jewish people right now in the conservative conspiracy sphere. People like Nick Fuentes, who are, you're making a lot of comments that I think are just meant to, yeah, boost his virality and get him into more, you know, algorithms and promote, again, this sort of division, people blaming one group or another rather than getting to the truth of the matter, the heart of the matter. So anyways, yeah, it's been a lot. And I, like you, have stepped back from, you know, covering a lot of those more contemporary topics and looking more at the symbolism and the patterns. And yeah, it's a lot of weird, I would say, actors in this space now. And I've done my best to avoid interacting with them, I guess, but we'll see, you know, maybe we need to branch
absolutely.
Out.
I avoid it. At first I was diving into it and calling out people, but then I realized that they have bot armies, and I'm not talking about anyone you brought up. I'm talking about other people that are also in this sphere, where I called them out and showed the symbolism, showed all that. And it attracts nothing but bot farms. So it will ruin, if you have an audience and you go after these foreign bot farms, they will flood your, you know, commentary, the audience. It's called the ratio. What it is, it's the collective. And they will also report, dox, threat. It's just nuts. So I've deliberately stayed away from it after that, and to protect the audience. So the channel, my audience, is all about what I'm doing. I'm not trying to wake up anybody, people on, you know, that watch my videos. We're interested in these topics of symbolism. Like you said, symbolism is like the big thing that I'm interested in. But over the last few years, I've been studying the ideologies. And the ideologies of fascism, socialism, communism, and the left. And the thing is a lot of these podcasters, they totally align with those same beliefs. Even if they don't know they align with those beliefs, their actions and what they support that. So that was a big breakthrough. And even with the Charlie Kirk assassination, that took place here in Arizona. So it hits home when it's in Arizona, because I'm out here where like the TPUSA and all that's at. And I've been to those events before. And I'm like, oh, this is cool event. But I went last year and there was an evil energy there that I had to leave early because I'm sensitive. I'm a sensitive artist. But I was picking up on something. And there was a fight between two famous podcasters in a exact location. And this year, there was a fight by two other famous podcasters in the exact location. Now, I would not be surprised if that was a ritual, in a sense, even if both of the podcasters don't know, maybe only one knew. But what are the odds? It could be an energetic ley line of like some sort of, you know, Arizona's got some history to it. And I've drove by, you know, places where I get bad feelings or something bad will happen and I just don't go by it. And that might sound woo-woo-y, but maybe it's because it's the desert and it's really hot, but what are the odds that the last 2 years a fight broke out in the exact same location at the TPUSA event? I don't think that's an accident. Maybe there's something like energetically higher level, like at play, or it's some sort of secret society ritual. Because when I was there last year, there was Bohemian Grove members there throwing parties, and there was all the different podcasters who have straight connect ties to federal agencies and certain bloodlines of the elite. It is just super strange stuff. And so I've really stepped away from that because that's, I live in Arizona and that's not, all the stuff we see online has nothing to do with anything conservative or conservative values or anything like that. It's all just like a big show. It's strange.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bread and circus. Politics is no different. You know, it's all a stage. So moving on from this sort of temperature of the conspiracy world, what do you think? I mean, based on, you know, some of the bigger stories, some of the symbols that you've covered, what do you think, symbolically speaking, this year represented to you? As far as the year of conspiracy, were there any, you know, icons that go in that sort of within that theme?
So I'm looking at things as 2 year long rituals. You brought up Israel earlier and the war took place. It was a 2 year long war. Well, there was also a 2 year long lockdown. And I wouldn't be surprised if BLM also was a 2 year long protest. Each one of these events that take place is targeting something that's different than brainwashing. It's targeting the autonomic nervous system, which is our body, where a symbol can control the autonomic nervous system. So if you're part of a religion or you like a football team or you're part of a nation, that symbol of the nation or the religion or your football team is encoded into our body. So you can't shake it off. It's the imprinting. And I believe the elite know this, and that's why they use symbols to control people, because of that imprinting in the body. So 2025, going into 2026, I see, my prediction is, I think that we're going to get North Korea, Kim Jong-un, I believe Rocket Man will be back into the script because we haven't heard from him in a while. And yeah, I've been looking into AI a lot, studying that with the smart city grids and the Super Bowl that's coming up in the halftime rituals and connecting it all into transhumanism for 2045. And smart cities and all that. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, no, you're giving me some ideas of where we can go next with this conversation, because yeah, I want to talk to you about what you've been looking into as far as AI and transhumanism is concerned. I know we've mentioned that in the past. So yeah, where are things in culture leaning towards that? AI obviously is more ubiquitous than ever, but how do you see people like Elon Musk and others of his ilk ushering this in? Like, any new strange things that Elon's been up to? I heard he was on ketamine recently, publicly.
Mm-hmm. Well, Time Magazine, the person of the year was all the architects of the AI, Elon included and others. So this AI system that's being built, it learns through simulations. So the lockdowns took place, and then right after the lockdowns, AI was released to us, as if they weren't utilizing AI all through the lockdowns as it being one big simulation. So we're seeing all these fires happen in California, and the AI, it doesn't need forest. It doesn't need food. It needs energy. It needs nuclear water. It needs this stuff so it can function and be, you know, built. So I think my hypothesis and just what I think, I'm not saying it's a fact, but the fires that have been taking place in California is that they're setting up the smart city grid for the Olympics for 2028, which will be taking place in LA, but even getting it ready for the Super Bowl in San Francisco. San Francisco, one third of its power went out a couple of days ago during the winter solstice, the day before and the day of. And the Waymo cars just weren't operating at all correctly. Now, I believe these are test runs, simulation runs, just like the 3i Atlas. That whole thing was a simulation. And now they're telling us that they're running the largest interstellar military drill with the 3i Atlas as a simulation. But the whole story, ever since its development, has been releasing this disclosure as a simulation of how people will react and respond. So when the No Kings protest happened in LA as well, the feds were posting pictures of protesters burning Waymo cars. And this happened right after a report was released on the next stage of the AI was studying its environment. So I live in a smart city out here in Phoenix where the Waymo cars rule supreme. And they're pretty good. They operate pretty nicely, but it's like a double-edged sword. And if it wants to, it could block the freeways. It could block the major cross streets so people can't leave and exit a city, for example. It could do a lot of strange stuff if it's used as a weapon. So this blackout that just took place in San Francisco, where the Waymo cars weren't working, I believe it was just a simulation for it to study its environment, just like the protests are. Because when the people are burning the Waymo cars, it's studying the environment. Oh, that person was angry and he came over to it. It's like all data collection. And I also think that same data collection is why free speech has opened up on Google platforms like YouTube, where we have these conspiracy people coming out who never said one word about the lockdowns. I never heard of them. But they opened up this algorithm for everyone to have their free speech because it's data collection. It's studying everybody. That's what IBM was doing during, World War II with the National Socialist. They were doing the data collection to see what religion you were so they could lock people up. It's the exact same stuff going on, going back to the technocracy. And it all is like connected to energy. And I even think that Ozempic is part of a technocratic agenda. It's on the cover of the World Economist magazine, where they do this predictions of what's ahead. And you have Leave the World Behind, that's like predictive programming behind ahead. But the Economist magazine, the new issue for 2026, which we're about to enter, shows all these Ozempic pills because they're going to change it from injections to pill format. And what that pill does makes people not hungry. So they're not eating and they're not burning energy in a sense because they're not eating. Now that's been a huge thing with the technocracy giving people energy credits because the AI can see how much calories each person needs to conserve the energy. So I even think that plays a role in 2026, but a longer term.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm kind of stuck on the point you made about Waymos and if our urban areas are flooded with these autonomous vehicles that could be programmed simultaneously to act as a weapon, essentially. Yeah, they can be used in multiple different ways to cause havoc. And the other thing you mentioned that stuck with me is the needs of AI and how those reflect changes in our environment, right? So AI essentially needs water. It needs some sort of power source. If that's going to be nuclear, well, what does nuclear energy need? It still needs a ton of water. So water seems to be the main ingredient, and it's got to be desalinated. It can't be, you know, salt water. It has to be fresh water, to some extent, potable water. So do you think that there's an aspect of this that, I mean, again, I'm always looking for the silver lining. And if AI needs water, to me, that would suggest it's not going to want to destroy the earth. Because if the earth and the environment is destroyed and we're living in a virtual desert, you know, where's the AI? How's the AI going to drink? You know, obviously, we don't want to compete with AI for water. That sounds like a really dangerous scenario. But you and I, we're open-minded. We're skeptical. We don't necessarily buy into the green credit nonsense about the earth being this fragile little thing that's only weeks away from being destroyed by the big, nasty human monster. Like, there's so much water on this earth, you know, especially in the northern hemisphere. So, you know, again, like, I'm not really buying into this fear porn about the environment, but like, how do you see AI affecting our environment? It sounds like you're suggesting these fires are somehow connected to that.
I didn't know. I mean, you're wicked smart. I didn't know they couldn't use the salt stuff, salt water. The interesting thing about water is there's more water in like the ocean, and they can get rid of that. There's technologies to
desalinate. Yeah.
That, yeah. And I'm not against AI at all. I think that you definitely need it to protect America. It's like the next stage of just development. It's just that the technocracy and things to look out for, things can go in any direction, you know. The silver lining is that, I mean, it's interesting. I'm just getting, my mind's now going to the ocean because I've been looking into the ocean a lot lately.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, if they had a convenient way to use salt water, yeah, they could just move all that stuff underwater conceivably. But, yeah, I don't know. It is interesting to, I guess my question's a little different than the way I phrased it, so my apologies. But, yeah, I'm just curious because it sounds like a lot of the AI content, whatever we're talking about here, it's predicated on environmental destruction in some way, whether that's, again, the energy that's going to be required to run these computers, and then B, the water that's required to cool them off, right? So there is a environmental stress factor that needs to be accounted for, but yeah, I don't know. It just seems like the stories I've heard are suggesting that AI is, you know, going to compete with us for water. So that's why I'm wondering, like, well, where does something like a fire fit into that? Because it seems like it's kind of the opposite of, you know, of, but.
Yeah. Well, so the fires, it was just, are they happening for the AI and for the smart grid to keep building upon, because LA, that smart city, got to be intact and ready for the Olympics when everyone goes there by 2028.
It's more about the infrastructure being cleared away so they can build new infrastructure that is in within the standards of a smart city, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Even the blackout that just happened in San Francisco, the first reports was saying that it was caused by a fire. Then you have all these other reports saying different things. But I was just saying that every single thing in California burnt around downtown LA. Downtown LA wasn't hit at all, because that will be the command center, the command tower of the smart city, you know, operating all the electronics. And so that was kind of where my thinking is. But another thing that's interesting is that humans, just like in the movie The Matrix with the wearables, will also be charging the machine in a sense. So our bodies and the life force that we radiate out, that can also charge the AI. So it could be a human farm of people charging the AI as well, because we have the bioenergy. So that's what the wearables are all about, getting pushed, everyone wearing their watches and the Ray-Bans. But eventually people will be plugged into the Borg. So Time Magazine released a few issues that I found interesting. One was The Orb Will See You Now, which was Sam Altman, ChatGPT. But the most recent one, which had all the AI people in it, was talking about how are we going to pretty much seduce society into the Matrix, into plugging in to the Neuralink, into, you know, the simulacra that they've are building. And how they're going to do that is the you'll own nothing and be happy, because you will be living in a simulacra of a king or a queen. When you're plugged in through this, maybe you don't even need a Neuralink. Maybe it will be contact lenses or Ray-Ban glasses. You will be living the life you want to live, but you just be plugged in, charging the machine. But you're going to love it, because it will be a simulacra of being a king or a queen. So it's like you're going to have the best life ever, but it's not real. It is a virtual reality. And the other way they're going to seduce us is through the Tesla sex bots. And that's the other way they said in this very boring article how people will dive into this Matrix.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the year. I hope you're having a happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone listening to this show when it comes out. Thank you for tuning in. This is a sort of bonus, relaxed, last minute, if you will, episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. But I already have big plans for 2026, big guests, big interviews, and new formulas for the format of the show. I hope you liked my recent interview with Michael Wan and the long form introduction that I did there. So if you like that, sign up on the Patreon, patreon.com/MFTIC. You can get the full experience here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. That's patreon.com/MFTIC. And in 2026, you're going to get the full version of each episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. And I'm going to change things up. I'm going to add new types of episodes back into the mix, maybe even Esoteric America again. So look forward to that. And big shout out to our sponsor, Vibe Med X. Go to vibemedx.com to get the number one premium adaptogen supplement. That's Shilajit, sourced from some of the purest mountains in Russia. That's the strongest Shilajit you can find anywhere at vibemedx.com. Use the promo code CRAZY. And we'll be right back to this interview with Donut after these ads. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you in just a moment. Sign up on Patreon to support the show and get every episode ad-free. Come on now, what are you waiting for? Family Thinks I'm Crazy family. Let me tell you about my favorite, my personal favorite cannabis Mood, M-O-O-D, created in 2002 as an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small pesticide-free American farms. Listen, folks, this is the good stuff made in America. Their gummies are action-packed, okay? I've had all the gummies. None of them are the same. The Sleep Time gummies mixed with my Raw Optics red lenses, I'm in bed in 10 minutes. No hangover, no grogginess. I wake up like that. Whew. Jumping out of my bed, standing up straight, and taking on my day. It's incredible. Try it out today. Use the promo code CRAZY and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code CRAZY. Let's go, folks. Let's do it. All right. My family thinks I'm crazy. I'm in the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy mood. Let's take a quick moment to thank our sponsor, Hims. Listen, confidence should not be complicated, and especially this holiday season, with all the pressure, getting the right gift, the last thing you want to do is show up in the bedroom with your partner lacking. And this year, Hims might be the solution. Check it out if you are someone who needs that extra confidence boost. Hims is there for you. Just take it within the hours of when you might get active with your lover, okay? When the mood strikes, you will be ready to go. You will be ready to give your loved one that extra holiday pizzazz with Hims, okay? I'm sitting in my van right now. I don't need Hims at the moment, but I know that Hims is there for me if sex were to happen, okay? We're just creating opportunities for great sex with Hims, and we're creating those opportunities this holiday season with the promo code CRAZY. Use it at Hims.com. Go to Hims.com, use the promo code CRAZY, and save your love life by being rock hard when you need to be. All right.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Yeah, and there's certainly a large group of men who are building a case for, or, you know, build, what would you call it? Building up a good customer base for the future of AI sex bots. I mean, all of the men that are, I mean, essentially, what's the term? Incels, involuntary celibate, right? This is a group of people that, for worse or for better, will probably take on this AI sex bot. And further, I don't know, it seems like there's a lot of sociological issues right now between straight relationships, let's say. You know, I can speak on the world of LGBTQ relationships, but it seems like within the world of heterosexuality, there is a crisis, right? There are women who, you know, are going for, according to men, they're going for a very small percentage of available men, whereas the large variety, you know, larger group of men are unsuccessful in finding potential partners, right? This is like part of the internet culture. People who are obsessed with, you know, spending all their time on the internet, and then as a result of that, they lack the social skills to develop a positive or healthy relationship with a partner. So, you know, it seems like these AI sex robots are only going to exacerbate this issue that porn and, you know, internet culture has created in men and women.
So the sex recession is a very real thing. Birth rates are collapsing and intimacy is at an all-time low, even for married couples. And technology plays a huge role in this. And there's also a correlation to the rise of fascism and this culture that we live in, this narcissistic culture, who is not in tune with their emotions whatsoever, because the act of lovemaking is very emotional. So what has happened is it's become more performance, leaving that 99% of women that you're talking about going after the 1% of men disenchanted, because the narcissism, then we see the rise of fascism within the incel community. So I believe there's a correlation to that with the symbols of socialism, fascism. Those symbols are rising and people are loving it as the incels are also rising. People don't know how to communicate as well anymore. And the spirituality of human-to-human relationships have diminished because there's no more group settings anymore and a community. People are now isolated, not only within their digital silo within Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is, but people like myself, I work at home. I don't go and hang out with people, so I gotta, you know, seek out relationships and friendships and community and be a part of that community. And that's pretty much gone in a lot of ways, which makes people not willing to commit. There's a big commitment issue as well. And the sex recession that is taking place, not just here, it's all over the place in Japan and South Korea, you know, it's all over. It's doing well in like the Muslim countries and in Israel. It's doing fine there. So it's something to look at. But it's not doing well in America. And I've researched this. I even put out a documentary on it, and it didn't do well whatsoever. But I think it is fascinating because it's going to be connected with this rise of the robot intimacy, which is not going to work out because it's not real. Everybody's a control freak and everyone wants control. And also the masculine and feminine polarities have switched, just like the poles switch on the earth. That has also switched, which kind of makes things confusing, especially when you have podcasters promoting this is what masculinity is, when it has nothing to do with masculinity. You'll have podcasters saying what masculinity is being angry and caring about your appearance and wearing makeup. And it's just like, what the heck? When that is absolutely the opposite of what masculine energy is. And feminine energy is told to be like a boss bitch and, you know, to total masculine energy. It's so, everything seems to be inverted. We live in a strange inverted world where up is down, slavery is freedom, free, you know, 1984. It's a fascinating topic. And I do like the masculine and feminine polarities because I studied that too when I was like a teenager. And I always found it to be quite true in my experience.
Yeah, there's certainly something going on. An inversion is one way to put it. Maybe the sort of lower aspects of masculinity are being highlighted. The negative aspects are being highlighted, whereas, you know, the femininity of women has been shifted so much by maybe capitalism and other factors in the media. Yeah, when we start having conversations like this, I always want to like trace it back and figure out, you know, where this all started. I heard recently, or read recently, a term called societry, which is psychiatry applied to a society at large. And Jim Keith, who wrote a couple of really great books, this one in particular, I was reading the Encyclopedia of Mind Control. He was talking about how the Tavistock Institute developed primarily after World War II was behind this sort of societary idea and popularizing it. And you know better than most that the Tavistock was behind and responsible for the inundation of the Beatles and the Summer of Love and all the psychedelic sort of cultural propaganda that ensued, that what do they call the British invasion and all these other terms to describe how culture changed so quickly during the Vietnam War era and afterwards. And really we see the blossoming of conspiracy culture, which again, coming back to your previous statements, when now it seems like after, what was it, 5 to 10 years after the JFK assassination, conspiracy theory was being mainstreamed in order to obfuscate and confuse the public who were very suspicious and asking questions about JFK. The CIA comes up with this pejorative that we all now own with honor, right? We in this Orwellian way, identify ourselves as conspiracy theorists, even though that was a term that the CIA created to be a pejorative towards anyone suspicious of the mainstream narrative. But again, here we are, history repeating itself in this sense where we have different opinions on the Kirk assassination, the litany of what you could call false flag events, psyops, maybe these mass shootings, which again, are portrayed in a certain way to fit a political agenda, whereas the actual specifics and details of what was going on were very murky and hard to pierce. Anytime something like this happens, immediately the news runs with it. It's almost like the news is more responsible, or the mainstream is more responsible for creating this conspiracy theory culture than the alternative sector. Would you agree with that?
So the mainstream news is a conspiracy outlet. They make up lies. It's fake news. They are projecting exactly what they're doing. And people from the mainstream news are now the leaders of the conspiracy movement. It is such bullshit. And Cass Sunstein, he got put onto the Obama regime. Everyone brings him up, but I think it is important to bring up during 9/11 to flood the 9/11 type truther kind of movement with bogus, you know, leads that lead you down all these different rabbit holes that lead to nowhere. And that's exactly what has happened. There's been a huge takeover through foreign bots and influencers who are taking foreign monies. And they're telling us, you know, something, then telling us to go into this institution now, this religious institution or that religious institution. This is what's going on. And really not leave, it's just, it's such a total psyop. And then you get people using these words too. So they say psyop all the time. And they think that that means that it's fake, when that just is a shorter word for psychological operation. That just means it's an operation going on to their soul that even the word false flag, nobody knows what that means. They think that it just means it didn't happen. So people are now awakened after voting for Bernie Sanders, and now they're, you know, so smart because of, you know, they've read some online stuff. It reminds me a lot of when I first was waking up when the Zeitgeist movie came out in 2008 or whatever, 2006. And I was like, whoa, symbols, Saturn, wow, what? You know, it freaked out. And I thought I was so smart. And I was really so stupid at that time. And I'm just seeing that happen again, you know.
You know, I really respect that for you to say that about Zeitgeist. And not my favorite documentary. I've talked about this in the past, my opinions on Zeitgeist. But I respect that for you to be able to say, you know, hey, I thought a certain way about it, and now I realize in hindsight I was not quite there. And yeah, I don't want to turn this into us sounding like, you know, we're jaded and cynical, but it is disappointing to see, yeah, people run amok with this whole topic and subject of discussion and research that is very important and, you know, pivotal to a human cause, the humanist cause, whatever that may be, those of us in the human population that want to see humanity become better, not ruled by dictators, not abused by systems of government and religion, you know, those of us who have, I don't know, something called a soul, right? But it's interesting to see, again, this machine that now the figurehead of it is, seems to be AI. In the past, we would call it the military-industrial complex or just the industrial world. It's sort of, yeah, it's taking on this AI face, this sci-fi face, and all the while the public is suspicious or maybe not suspicious enough of this because they've been led to this ideology of scientific atheism, all the while folks like you are pointing out how this is all occulted, mystical, metaphysical astrology, and that's kind of what Zeitgeist portrayed. So even though Zeitgeist was, you know, let's say a very first grade rendition of that information, in hindsight, yeah, maybe it was a little like elementary, but it did foreshadow things that you talk about today, where you see these astrological and astronomical influences making their way into occult rituals done by people who ostensibly or to the public are not occult people. They're not religious people. They're just normal secular people, right? We've been led to believe, oh no, that's all funky mystical stuff, weird cult people do that, celebrities don't do that, wealthy people don't do that. But you point this out constantly. So I guess all of this to say, like, is there any part of you that thinks whatever AI is kind of like an entity of its own? Maybe, you know, considering that these people have such strange occult fixations, like, could they be summoning some sort of entity through these technologies?
Well, I know Joe Rogan believes that they're summoning Jesus through it.
Joe Rogan said he believes that they're summoning Jesus through AI.
That's what the clip seemed like he was saying. I just saw a clip, so I don't want to take it out of context, but there was this viral clip of him saying that Jesus was born through a virgin, and the same thing with AI, like, it's not a human, so somebody being born through it. I don't know if that's what he meant, but that's what it seems like.
So he's saying because AI is a consciousness without a natural origin, that means it's like a virgin birth.
I don't know if like AI can have a conscience. Like we're humans and soul, like our mind and our brain are two different things. People think our mind is in our brain when it's not. It's never been proven to be. So maybe, certain entities or something can communicate through it, or something. I don't really know, but what I think's going on is you brought up Jim Keefe, which a big fan of, and I believe he was assassinated after releasing his mind control book. But the Zeitgeist film, just to bring it back to that led people to socialist ideologies. That second one, the first one, I like Jordan Maxwell in it. That's how I discovered Jordan. And the second one was awful, and it was like a socialist ideology. And I would even say that the new Zeitgeist would be the one that all the top podcasters are telling everyone to watch about Europa. And I haven't watched it. I try to watch it. It's really long, but it is in my, what I've heard from it, is promoting that the National Socialists were the good guys. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it's about. That the National Socialist. So there's another socialist ideology. And then you have other books that I just learned about that Candace, she was told by her institutions that she is part of, that she joined and got baptized at 322 after being fired on 322, that read this book. And the book is written by a guy who's part of MI6, who was a spy, who's doing espionage. And the book is about how America is just awful and was created by like the satanic element. So right there, it's also more ideology pushing against the Republic. So this is why this ideology thing has been a huge part of my research over the last 2 to 3 years, because this, with the symbols, with the etymology, with the bloodlines, the ideologies, is really how you can break through the matrix and see what's really going on. This has been a huge like eye-opener for me. And you brought up being jaded. I am jaded. I can't, I see what's going on. How can I not be jaded from lockdowns to fascist brainwashing to just whatever it is, high narcissism, and just the collective group think. And the group as well, people who've studied the mind, who studied the collective, have always shown that the group wants to be socialist. It's the democracy, it's the mob rule, it's the ratio, it's the individual who is the Frankenstein who gets burnt at the stake. And so these are kind of been the studies that I've been doing just to get through the day. But I don't I as jaded as I am, I feel like I also have more acceptance and serenity than most of the populace because of the things that I take action on, with having strong community and my own spiritual, philosophical outlook and vocation and all that.
And you're a fun, positive guy who has a lot going for him. I don't see why you would be upset or jaded, when you really look at it. How do these things affect us, as far as we let them? Like, I think that's really what it comes down to, is we are letting these things affect us. It's just a matter of how. And that's completely up to you. And that might be hard for someone to hear who's, out underneath a pile of, 10 to 20 years of trauma and mind control programming, but you can get your way out of it. I feel like I did when I was a teenager. I sort of saw through it and freed myself to some extent, and here we are now. But yeah, it's interesting to think about the general consensus and how they're swayed by something like a documentary series, Europa, and that whole Nazism, the Thule and the Nazi occult. Like, all of that is very strange to me. I understand it, but I don't understand where the sympathy for it comes from. I think it comes down to this Hegelian dialect and getting people to identify with divisionary or divisory causes, you know, causes that are inherently leaning towards some sort of future predicament, divide, crisis, etc. But you mentioned ideologies. Is there any particular ideology? I mean, transhumanism seems to be the one sort of mainstream ideology that's being pushed on people. But it sounds to me like, with what you said with the Jesus and the AI, like there's a sort of Christian persuasion to this transhumanism. What's going on there? Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a huge religious component to moving people into the 2045 agenda of transhumanism. We could see that, whether that's Peter Thiel, you know, doing his lectures on the Antichrist, or another fascinating thing that no one really knows about is the acceleration movement to accelerate everything into collapse, to Phoenix the Republic, pretty much crash America by doing acceleration. And what is going to be brought in is Sharia law banking, where there's no debt, everything's put on assets. So that's also a big part of the technocracy agenda as well, which is quite interesting that I've been reading about in this book, The Final Betrayal. But going back to what you were saying about meaning, in a sense, I think that's a good word to put it. I've been studying Viktor Frankl in just different philosophies, and his philosophy on logotherapy, which is pretty much optimism. This is a guy who survived the Holocaust, and the thing that he would talk about was different than the Nietzschean perspective of power, which all narcissists want is power. So that's why I was bringing up the power thing, how relationships just don't work out, because there's this Hegelian dialect of master-slave dynamics there. That's a real thing. The Will to Meaning in Viktor Frankl has been a blessing to read one of his books. I forget what it's called. I think it's called The Will to Meaning. But finding meaning in everything you do, even if it's bad or whatever, you could still find meaning in it to, you know, keep it pushing. And that's been very helpful. So the ideologies, I think that's like a huge thing. And it's always like the group think.
Controlling the public through their ideologies. It's not one ideology or another. It's whichever is most convenient towards the agenda, it seems. So 2026, Donut, I know you like to cover the Super Bowl halftime show. We'll have to wait for that. But last year, or maybe it was the year before, we did a really interesting episode, you and I, where you gave us some predictions, and if I remember correctly, one of those predictions came true. So in honor of that, or in that tradition, what do you think's gonna
be coming down the
pike for 2026? Let's hear it.
I've been studying the Super Bowl rituals, was laughed at for years because I said they're sex rituals, they're fertility rites, and The Weeknd, who launched off his ritual during the lockdowns, 2020 Super Bowl, all males, and they all collapsed on stage in front of a graveyard that said, "Touch yours alone." And I said, this is a fertility rite, but there was no pregnancy, there was no fertility, because it was all men. So it was a same-sex attracted ritual. That was laughed at, whatever, moved on to the next year. They're using the same color coding in the next year and the next year, where Rihanna showed that she actually was pregnant. And they're wearing the red and the white, red and white, red and white, and all these. And then you had Dr. Dre one. And this most recent one with Kendrick Lamar, they introduced the blue, like, and it's like the blue blood or the blue bloods or whatever. But I think it's just the new genetic code of this new human being built. So it's a ritual fertility rite birthing this new type of baby of, you know, man mixed with machine. And they highlight the genes, you know, the Kendrick Lamar with his bell-bottom jeans as he's doing a romantic song in a yoni, an upside-down triangle, where he's blue and he goes in there with the red and the whites. And I believe that's what that's about. So my prediction for this next Super Bowl, which is put on by Apple, I believe it'll be Billie Eilish. She's going to make a surprise appearance, but that could be wrong. I get those wrong a lot. Because I said Jelly Roll would be at the last one and he wasn't. And then I also think Zach Brown Band maybe will be there. Because he sings a song about the jeans that fit just right.
Yeah, the blue jeans. You had the whole thing with Sydney Sweeney about the wearing the right pair of jeans or having the right jeans. This whole concept of, your bloodline, blue blood. We had Katy Perry on the Blue Origin launch up into space. So, yeah, blue seems to be a theme. Is there any other blue sort of symbols that I'm leaving out here? Because, yeah, it seems like blue is a big part of this, as you put it, color magic that they're sort of showing off throughout these halftime shows. Blue is the next one.
Yeah, so I look into the different color coding as alchemy is a color coding, right, with the Negredo and the Rubio and the yellow and the white or whatever they're called. And so the colors play a big role in the magic, but also symbols like of Ishtar or different animals like Super Bowl, a superb owl. You got the Bohemian Grove owl. But Bad Bunny will be performing. So I think this hints a lot at what's going to happen. I think it's going to be connected to UFOs. The Disclosure movie will be released by Steven Spielberg. And he's very aware of the Thule Society, the Atlantis Society. And so the predictions I have is that we're going to get North Korea, Rocket Man, Kim Jong-un back in the picture. We're going to get some more alien stuff for sure. Some more that in the news. And either Billie Eilish or Zach Brown Band at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, the symbolism is very strange. I don't particularly watch any sports. The Super Bowl halftime show, I think the last few I watched on live podcasts with you and maybe Thomas. But yeah, it's interesting the symbolism that's being portrayed in general. It's very occultic. And there's something else with what you just said. Animals. Is there a sort of animism? You familiar with this term, animism, this idea that consciousness is in all things? And it seems like this sort of animistic religion may be a part of this somehow too.
Is that like animal magnetism, sort of?
Well, I think animal magnetism would be more of like a psychic ability. People who have a maybe like a persuasive ability with animals would be called, people who have that capability of animal magnetism. No, animism is more like, anthropologically speaking, one of the world's first religions. Not that any, you know, anyone ever used that term prior to our contemporary time. Nobody in the past considered themselves animists. It's sort of like a research term. But yeah, animism is this idea that all things are living. So it's a sort of catch-all religion that anthropologists use to explain indigenous cultures. But I see the elites, the cult sort of rituals, having some of these elements in them. I mean, I know you've done some examinations of different pieces of pop culture. We see animism, particularly in children's shows, and I've even heard documentaries like the ones that David Attenborough creates have elements of animism involved in them. But yeah, what do you think?
Well, you know, that's a new topic for me, so I don't know much about it. But I have dived into sort of connected the Illuminati animals and studying all the different animals, and that's been a lot of fun, starting with the dolphins and the Illuminati dolphins. And I've just been doing studies on the octopus and the mantis that we've talked about quite a bit. And that's been huge discoveries with the camouflage of the owl, the mantis, the octopus. I read Reza Giorgiani's Closer Encounters book, 450 pages, just to see the mantis section. And the mantis section was towards the very last chapter. So it was a very fun read, and I got to read the whole thing. So I'm very caught up on all the UFO stuff. But the whole book really put together my own mantis experience that I had in this dream, or maybe it was real, but say it was a dream where I wrote about it when I first made my like first podcast. I wrote about the mantis. It's recorded like in the history books. And I was sort of just like being funny. I'm like, I got to put some fun in this like crazy stuff. But after reading his book, all the stuff that I talked about, I just didn't know the correct words, but it's the exact same story that other people have experienced. So, for example, I called them the Wi-Fi mantises because this is when the internet was being upgraded from the Wi-Fi modems to the new towers that have been built. And I was saying these towers were portals where this mantis creature could travel through. Well, after reading this book, pretty much what I was trying to explain was that there was this mantis creature that traveled through a hyperdimensional portal. And this book got put it all together, so I know all the terms. I just didn't know what these terms were. And this is stuff that the Nazis were studying, that America was studying. So Skinwalker Ranch, for example, purchased by a billionaire, Bigelow, there is a hyperdimensional portal on there where they call it Skinwalker. So it's this creature who can transform and change just like a mantis can, or an owl can, or an octopus can. And so this creature in my dream, the way I was describing how it showed up, and this could have even been a near-death experience. I could have maybe had a near-death experience and it wasn't a dream, because it goes into these NDEs and how it's very similar to abductions. So when I had this dream, I was hovering over my own body and these three mantises were operating on me, and I thought they were doing good because I didn't recall this dream until about 2 years later in vivid detail. This same thing happens to abductees when the Whitley Strieber book was released called Communion, where it had this long gray alien head on the cover. And I'm like, wow, people see this book And then they remember their dream because they do Mandela effect on our psyche and on our memory, if this is all to be believed or true or whatever. But the exact same thing that all these other cases have are like, whoa, I wasn't making this stuff up. Like, or they're all having the same dream too. So I thought that was very interesting. And it was in the last chapter. And I know we're going to do a podcast. We've been talking about for years on the Mantis before I read this too. So, so that's the new Illuminati animal that I've been researching. And it, this book goes over the mantises, the owls, and the octopus, and they are fascinating. For example, the octopus, and I just like to point out where I'm getting the information so people can read it for themselves. The octopus can camouflage better than a chameleon, so it's not even like a chameleon because it could change its form, its texture, and its color instantaneously, making it the ultimate shapeshifter. And the mantis can do the same thing with leaves and stuff like that and look like a piece of wood. The owl does that as well. And the owl is the symbol of the Illuminati. And if we tie it back to even more ancient gods and goddesses, like Athena has the invisibility cap and she's connected to the owl. Ishtar is also connected to the owl. The owls have the biggest ears in the animal kingdom, and they don't blink. That's why they look so creepy when they're looking at, you know, us, because they don't blink. And the octopus is so cute, but it's a predator as well. But they're not isolated beings that we've been told that they recruit fish into their armies to take down sharks. So it's been a very interesting reading about these different Illuminati animals, especially the octopus was probably the most interesting. But the mantis is interesting too, because the mantis, one of the guys who wrote all about it at the same time he was writing about the devil, he was explaining that's where all of our anxiety comes from. And it goes into the word imagination too, imago, being the perfect form of an insect after its larval stage. And it really brings in this like philosophy or idea of how we can really change the world and how it operates. I don't know if it's called, I'm such an idiot and a beginner, so I could be totally wrong here, but there's the subjective reality, which the National Socialists hold as a subjective reality. They're not based in reality, right? They're based on this is how I feel, and these are my feelings, and this is what I believe. I don't need to read anything else. This is what's true. And then there was Ayn Rand, who had objectivism. But in this book, it's saying how like subjective reality, that we could change shit just by thinking it, in a sense, not like law of attraction, woo-woo-y thing, but we could walk through walls if like pretty much like the double split experiment. But the thing is that our reality is being changed by all these different worldviews that people carry, and not just us, but also the different animals or even the different hyperdimensional creatures like Bigfoot or whatnot could also be changing the reality. So, I mean, it was a very fascinating read and I highly recommend it.
Altering the collective consciousness. Something stuck with me that you just said. The octopus uses fish to fight sharks. Is this them communicating with the fish somehow, agitating them in such a way to like, or is it just predicting the fish's behavior and then doing something to stimulate them? Or is the book suggesting that the octopus is actually communicating with the fish?
It will slap the stupid fish to get in line, and it will team up with other octopuses. to take down sharks. We're seeing this sort of with orca whales that are teaming up to take down different like ships in the sea this month. The thing is the octopuses are these precognitive sentient beings where they can like pretty much see what's going to happen in the future, but could they even read our own minds? And what if these octopuses aren't coming from Europa, which is the worldview of the mainstream, that Jupiter's moon, Europa, an icy asteroid came down and, found the ocean, and that's where we get octopuses, because there's this evolutionary leap that makes no sense with the cephalopods and the octopus and how intelligent the octopus is. It's the most intelligent thing that's not a human or a mammal like us, but it has eight different brains in a sense. Each tentacle is its own brain. So when you decapitate one of the tentacles, it still operates. But the thing is these hyperdimensional portals that are at Skinwalker Ranch is what the Bermuda Triangle is. And Charles Fort even wrote about it, called it the Sargasso Sea. And he had his own worldview and hypothesis of it, which was way before a lot of the different alien researchers have came out and said the exact same thing, but he did it like a century before. So he was like very revolutionary and brave in his thinking. And the hyperdimensional portal, like let's say there's a portal where these ships and these airplanes and all this stuff, they're going in and out of and missing. Where are these flights going or these ships going? Well, what if another being can go through that, that could read people's minds, can camouflage, can make itself invisible or shape shift as well? So back to that, octopus speaking to it. What if there's like a bigger form of an octopus that can read our thoughts or even just change our memories or control our thoughts? What if the octopus could even control the fish's own thoughts too? So that's pretty interesting stuff. But he was talking about these are archetypes that why do they show up as mantises or owls? And it was saying that because it's trying to tell us something, because it could just be invisible if it wanted to, but it shows up as these different creatures. So the book kind of goes into the history of what those different archetypes or those creatures meant throughout ancient times, like with Ishtar having the owl's feet and all that.
Right. The symbolic associations and whatnot. Yeah, it's fascinating. We've talked about this before, and we certainly should, as you suggested, do a full episode just on praying mantises and the Wi-Fi mantis stuff. Sounds like we could do the same for octopi as well. But yeah, these symbolic connections, it's more than that, it seems. There are some stories that suggest certain animals have just sort of appeared into our realm, and that really lines up with what you just said. But science also has corroborated this in terms of certain instances where they haven't been able to find any trace of these specific organisms up to a certain point in our fossil record, which is imperfect, but nonetheless. Octopi, spiders. There's a couple of other examples of creatures that scientists have not been able to trace where along the evolutionary trail they originate. Unlike most other, at least mammals and arthropods, they have a sort of idea of which animal led to, if we're going to think in terms of evolution, which again, imperfect, probably flawed. It's particularly the Darwinian version of it. But again, I think it's all worth considering when we're trying to make sense of this realm that we're in, and all the perspectives are useful. There's a spiritual and scientific interpretation of the truth to a certain extent. So, yeah, very
Well, even the
fascinating.
humans that we have this genetic code, and because of the new technologies like CRISPR that we're able to see, that we had a certain code that changes one letter every 100 million years. And for some reason, 14 letters changed in 6 million years. And not only that, one of the sequences was taken out of us and then put back into us, and with this new technology. So that's freaking weird too. So there's just so much strangeness out there that just gets your mind like, what's going on?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's very baffling. And Donut, I'm looking forward to doing some more live streams with you. This was more of just a catch up, sort of talking about things going on. But as far as 2026 entails, you mentioned predictions. Are there any other predictions that you have for 2026 as we wind down this episode?
I predict that I'm going to do very well in 2026.
I love that. I hope so. And I predict that for myself too. So if everybody else listening thinks that as well, we're going to collective conscious boost this podcast and your content and hopefully make the world a better place for it. I think it's bound to happen. And you're a positive guy. I'm a positive guy. We're just trying to get to the bottom of what's going on here in this strange realm that we live in, find the truth, figure it all out. So, yeah, Donut, thank you, brother, for
Oh, good.
spending
Thank
some
you.
time with me this afternoon.
You're the best.
A lot of crazy ideas. I'm, again, a little stuck on the octopus. I think that deserves its own episode.
I'm
Praying
stuck on it
mantis
too.
and all the strange insect stuff. We could do a whole episode on that. And I've been telling my audience for a while that I'm going to be doing some live stream content, which you
Yes.
already do a ton of. So let's plan that for January. Maybe we can join this audience again with a solid one topic episode on all of the strange conspiracies related to the praying mantis, spiders, and insects in general, because I feel like that is something that could take up a whole 2 to 3 hour live stream. So with
There's so
that,
much more to it, yes. And also, what I'm going to be doing over the next 2 years is release a full documentary each month over the next 2 years,
oh, wow.
starting probably with the smart city and the AIs and the Waymo cars, since I live in the smart city, but also, extend that to going to, where you live, and maybe covering the skull and bones and the different, ley lines out there as
Yeah.
well. And so I'm going to step my game up into more documentary. And then with podcasting, I want to still do that, but I think I'm going to step up the podcast. I've been using the same microphone the whole time, and maybe purchase a better microphone. So I might have a better microphone in 2026.
Well, support Donut and help him accomplish those goals. I'm with you, brother. I think that's awesome. And yeah, get a Rodecaster. You'll certainly sound a little smoother. I think my audience appreciated when I switched to the Rodecaster. It's been so long now that I'm sure a lot of them don't even remember the transition from the old audio system to this one. But yeah, it's great, great investment for any audio project, podcast, or otherwise. So cool, man. Looking forward to collaborating with you on that stuff specifically. And by all means, if you come out to the East Coast, get in touch with me. We'll meet up. We'll plan a couple days to create some content because, yeah, there's a lot to be seen as far as ley lines and strange conspiracy type stuff in not just New Haven, but the state of Connecticut. So yeah, thank you, brother, for spending some time with me today. Remind the people where they can go to find all of your stuff.
You can find me at Donut, DoeNut.
Right on. Donut on YouTube, on X, on Instagram, all the places. He's there.
And with that, folks, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast in 2025. I don't know if this is going to be the last episode of the year or not, so we'll see you in 2026 if it is. And until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. All right, and that was our interview with Donut. I hope you have a happy holidays, and we'll see you very soon with a new episode. I'm your host, Mystic Mark. Remember, sign up on Patreon. That's patreon.com/MFTIC to support the show. Get the most out of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Keep this show going twice a week, every week in 2026. That's right. No breaks, folks. We're going to commit to 104 episodes in 2026, possibly more. We've done more in the past. So let's get to it. All right. Thank you all, and immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.
Fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.